Ladies and gentlemen, sit back and get comfortable. But not too comfortable. It's the WCHL Podcast with WCHL Commissioner Christopher Perry and Andrew Majorkirk.
Yes, indeed. This is the WCHL Podcast. I am the Commissioner Christopher Perry, and on the other end of the line is my very best friend in all the world. He is the Quinceañera Manager Extraordinaire for the City of Oklahoma City, the Parks and Recreation Department. You are like the king of Parks and Rec in the City of Oklahoma City. It's and that giggle that you just heard, that's Andrew Majorkirk. Andrew, say hello to the people.
Yo, yo, yo.
Andrew, how in the world are you? It's been about 10 days since we hopped on here and did a little podcast.
You know, I am just absolutely fantastic.
Whoa, look at you. I'm glad you didn't say what you normally say. Fan-effantastic.
That's right.
There we
That's
go. Right. Andrew, a lot has happened since we last spoke.
There's been a lot going on since we talked last.
The conference has a champion.
It does, indeed.
We know the Nationals teams that are going to Nationals. And I went to Bismarck, North Dakota, and I returned all in one piece.
You didn't stay up there.
They would not let me. I did not have the right kind of papers. Andrew, hey, let's get to it.
Yeah, we have a lot to cover here.
We have a champion in the Western Collegiate Hockey League. The regular season is over for the WCHL. And when we last spoke, we had a whole bunch of games going on. The non-conference games, Iowa State went to Utah and got blown out by Utah. 5-2 and 4-0 were the scores there.
Yep.
And Iowa State went to Utah in order to maintain their eligibility to go to Nationals. Remember, they were trying to pull the chute on that weekend.
Yeah, they were.
Wah, wah. We'll talk about that later. Iowa State, sorry. Oregon went to UNLV and just got absolutely pasted by the Rebels.
Oh, they got shellacked.
12-0 and 6-0.
I think we talked about what was going to be the over-under 7 goals a game, right?
Yeah, we did.
we were close, weren't we?
We were very close. I mean, how for Las Vegas.
Oh,
what do they call it? Coming up snake eyes.
Yeah. Yikes.
Missouri State went up to Maryville, and they came up snake eyes again. Maryville beat them 4-0, 6-0.
Yeah, they were hyping that one up, too, and got hammered.
How about this? I'm sitting in Bismarck, North Dakota, where it was a whopping 3 degrees on Friday morning. And I get it. But there's not a, well, I shouldn't say it. There was little flurries. But there was, you know, there's no snow on the ground, right? I get a video from St. Louis about the snowstorm that they were enduring at the time.
They just got pounded.
Missouri State, their bus was crawling around at like 10 miles an hour from Rolla forward. So the game on Friday night got pushed back. And in fact, I suggested to the guys, I said, look, you know what? It's late in the season. We're thinking about player safety first. Turn the bus around. If you can get back to Springfield, turn the bus around and then just come up and play the one game tomorrow.
Yeah.
No. We need both games. We're going to Nationals. We need both games. So Maryville accommodated. They got the game going about an hour and a half late, and got both games in, and Maryville scored all the goals. Missouri State did not.
Oof, they should have turned the bus around and gone home.
That's what I was thinking. Andrew, and then we had three conference series, the old rivalry series. Arizona teams played, the Colorado teams played, the Oklahoma teams played. You called it, Andrew. You said that Arizona was going to sweep ASU, and that's exactly what happened. 5-3.
That's exactly what happened.
5-3, 6-5.
Mm-mm-mm.
And so Arizona secures the they've already secured the Cactus Cup.
They've got the Cactus Cup.
But I think they actually, maybe it was on Friday night when they secured, or Thursday they secured it, but Saturday was just the cherry on top to put their arch rivals out of their misery.
Yeah.
Now, Andrew, the Colorado games, you said they were going to split, and they did indeed split, but you said each would hold home ice advantage.
Yep.
That did not happen.
No, they flip-flopped their on us, didn't they?
Colorado went up to Fort Collins and blasted the Rams at Epic, 7-2. It wasn't even that close.
Mm.
And then CSU returns the favor.
Like, here, hold my drink for a second, right?
They tie the game at 5. They were down 5-4. They tie the game in the third at 5. They take the lead, and they get an empty netter. So CSU walks away with the second game in Boulder by a score of 7-5.
Split it again, didn't they?
Yeah, and then all eyes were up on Arctic Edge because this is what was going to determine the where the trophy goes. Oklahoma, UCO. UCO has to win both games in regulation in order to tie UNLV, and then based on the tiebreakers, they would actually beat out UNLV
right
for the championship. OU is playing for a spot at the national tournament. And also, they desperately want to send my fat butt out to Las Vegas.
100%.
Yes. Yeah. Unfortunately for OU and fortunately for UCO, UCO won both games in regulation fairly convincingly, 5-1 and 7-1.
Yeah, OU got pasted up there.
Yeah, it's not the best showing for the Sooners. And from my spies that were there at the game, they said it wasn't. It was, you know, men against boys, and that's unfortunate because Oklahoma had been playing very good hockey of late.
Yeah. I can't throw too much shade at those guys because they had one heck of a turnaround season this year, right?
They sure did. I mean, hey, last year, you know what? They've got a lot to be proud of, and we can talk about that here in a little bit if you want. But last year they finished 50-something, and this year they finished in the top 25, and they're one of the two teams that got bumped out of Nationals.
Yeah, that's nothing to hang your head about, right?
That's a hell of a turnaround. And
that is. That's impressive.
For a one-year turnaround, that's a hell of a turnaround. So
yeah.
did they nick a point off of UCO? No. But did they make a hell of a run for it? They absolutely did. I mean, I think they can look back at scheduling and some losses that they shouldn't, games that they shouldn't have lost.
Yep. I would agree with that.
But anyways, hey, so we have a champion. Central Oklahoma is the champion. They finished tied with Nevada Las Vegas with 50 points in the WCHL standings. And Andrew, then we go to the tiebreaker.
The tiebreakers.
Our tiebreaker was most league wins. Well, heck, Central Oklahoma and UNLV finished with the exact same record, 15 wins. 2 overtime or shootout wins, 2 losses in regulation, and then 1 overtime or shootout loss. So they have the exact same record, most league wins. They have the exact same. Head-to-head win-loss record, well, they've already played earlier in the season, and they split the series.
Yep.
You know, because it's most league points in head-to-head games. Well, UCO beat UNLV 2-0, got 3 league points. UNLV beat UCO 3-2, got 3 league points, so we're tied there. Then we went third tiebreaker is head-to-head goal differential in the league games, and that's where UCO comes out on top by a goal barely. They scored, again, the scores were 2-0 UCO and 3-2 UNLV, so the aggregate there is 4-3 UCO, and there was the difference between who gets the auto bid and who did not.
How about that? So all 20 games, all these months of playing, it came down to one goal.
One goal.
Well, the difference.
That shows how it's insane. It also shows how close and how awesome both of those teams are.
Yeah. That was a battle going down to the line right there.
Yep. All right. And then, so Central Oklahoma finishes in first place, that even though they tied UNLV. They take the tiebreaker, the third tiebreaker. UNLV is in second place. Missouri State finishes another heck of a turnaround
for season. Yep.
Missouri State finishes in second place with, third place with 30 points. Utah is in fourth place with 29 points. Arizona is in fifth place with 28 points. Grand Canyon in Colorado, both of which are great turnaround stories. Grand Canyon and Colorado finished tied with 27 points, but then we get to the most league wins. Grand Canyon has 8 wins in regulation. Colorado has 7 wins in regulation. So Grand Canyon wins that tiebreaker on the first tiebreaker. So Grand Canyon finishes in 6th place, Colorado 7th, Oklahoma in 8th place, Colorado State 9, and Arizona State 10.
How about that? So number three, Missouri State with 30 points on the season here.
Mm-hmm.
And number eight, Oklahoma with 25 points.
Isn't that crazy?
Season.
I mean, how close is that?
Separating five teams. I mean, that is
That's insane. Awesome.
That's crazy, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, that is absolutely awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. That this was probably, we'd have to go back and historically look at the numbers, but this might be, if it's not the closest, it has to be top two closest
finishes in
the past, 11 years, 12 years, however long this thing's been going?
Yeah, I think without a doubt it's the closest. It's the closest at the top. Last year we went to a tiebreaker. It might have just been like 1 point that did it.
I think it was a point. Yeah, I don't think it was a tiebreaker last year.
And then, that's what you're right. It was a point. And then, but look at those middle, all like you said, three through eight.
30, 29, 28, 27, 27, 25. I mean,
six teams separated by 5 points.
Yeah, that's pretty darn close right there.
Well, and that also explains what we're going to talk about here in a little bit, that we have an awful lot of teams in the top 25 and an awful lot of teams going to nationals.
Yes.
So the regular season is over. The WCHL championship trophy goes to Central Oklahoma for the third year in a row. I think this is now their sixth time out of the 10 or 11 times let's see here. Arizona State won it the first two times. Then I think UCO went on a run for three. Then Arizona had it for two times. And now UCO's had it for three. Yeah, there we go. So, and then we have the COVID year in between when nobody played.
When no one played, yep.
Yep, so there it is. So six out of the 10 years, it's been there with Central Oklahoma. Congratulations to the Broncos.
Yes.
Hey, congratulations to all the teams. All the teams played all 20 games.
Yeah.
Which is, in this day and age, is a miracle.
It's it's impressive. Got to give our hats off to all the teams.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, close at the top, close in the middle. I mean, it was a dogfight all the way down all the way down the standings, the listing there, right?
It absolutely was.
I mean, just couldn't take any nights off. Had to show up and play your best. And you know what? Kudos to everybody involved, because that was one heck of a season right there.
There you go. Especially the commissioner, right? It's kudos to him. Yeah. Especially.
Yeah, he did a lot for it.
All he did was whine. Hey, so the next thing that's up, we're compiling the postseason awards right now. The ballots are out to the coaches. Some of them have returned them to me. Some of them haven't yet, but they're due. They were due today. We're recording this on Thursday, February 22nd. They were due back today, but I did that because I know that most of them, I'm going to have to pester a bunch of them. So,
yeah, I was going to say, you didn't expect everything to be turned in, did you?
How about this? In my other conference, I got, there are seven teams. I got six of them back already. I have to only pester one team to get, I know.
The other
conference is on the ball.
Wow.
We might be having a new B conference.
That's impressive.
Yeah. Andrew, we do have games this weekend. They're not going to count in terms of the rankings for nationals, but they will count in terms of, well, some of them will count in terms of rankings at the end, because the teams that don't make it to nationals, they get or the teams that aren't in the top 25 for nationals, they get assigned their ranking based on the computer. So I'm gonna say this wrong, but let me just simplify it. 1 through 22 at the end of the year are going to finish in how they finished at nationals.
Yeah.
All the rest of the teams are going to finish based on the computer ranking. So even the teams that got bumped, and we'll talk about that, but it's Colorado and Oklahoma, though the highest they can finish in the computer ranking is 23, but they can also fall out. Anyways, Colorado is hosting Oregon for two games this weekend. Andrew, what do you think is going to happen there? Do you think Oregon will score a goal?
Well, I was going to say, will they win a game? No. Will they score a goal? We're going to give it a 50-50.
All right. So CU sweeps, Oregon might score.
Yeah, we'll call that 50-50.
And we're talking on the ice.
Yeah. Okay.
And then we have the game that always just rankles me just a little bit. Oklahoma against Oklahoma State. Now, Oklahoma State is, I think, their men's two team this year. They kind of vacillate. That game is going to be played in Tulsa at the Bank of Oklahoma Center in downtown Tulsa in front of probably about 30 people. last year, Oklahoma State beat Oklahoma in overtime, I believe it was. And, that was not good. That was not a good look for Oklahoma, and it gave Oklahoma State false hope. So, what do you think is going to happen here? Oklahoma against Oklahoma State, Andrew.
You know what? You just, this whole thing is just head scratcher, but you know, you want to take Oklahoma on this one just because they should be the better team. So,
yeah, I think they learned their lesson last year. Last year they played the tail end of their roster to give some guys some experience because the game does not count in the rankings.
Yeah.
So what the heck? And they found out that, you know, I think the game, while it didn't count in the rankings, it sure did count in everybody's credit. You know, what do you call it? When they have their markers, when they have one up on you, they bragging rights.
Yeah, this was bragging rights, and OSU took a little bit more serious, maybe.
And it was all over social media that a Division II team beat a Division I team, and
yeah,
it was just I think the shame, if you will, the social media shame factor will play a lot, and I don't think Oklahoma is going to play the tail of their roster on this game.
Yeah, I would bring out the big guns, and I would put this thing to bed early if I was Oklahoma.
There you go. I agree with you. I 100% agree with you, Andrew. All right. Well, hey, let me find the horn here. Hold on, I got to actually look for
something. Oh boy,
I'm going to use another horn, and then let's come back. We'll talk rankings and the nationals, and then some gibberish.
Oh, sounds like fun to me.
Here we go.
But hey, as they say in hockey, let's do that hockey.
What is slashing?
Slashing is like that, you know?
Mm-hmm. And there's a penalty for that?
Yeah. And for a trip also, you know, like that. And for hook, like this. And for spear, you know, like that. Mm-hmm. All bad.
Bad.
You do that, you go to the box, you know, 2 minutes by yourself, and you feel shame, you know, and then you get free.
But hey, as they say in hockey, let's do that hockey.
Yeah, Chance, let's do that hockey.
Let's
Andrew,
do it.
That was fun with buttons right there. I enjoyed that one. Yikes.
Look what we got back, huh?
It's like I know what I'm doing. Oh, Andrew, the final ranking came out. Or I shouldn't say the final, but the second to last ranking, the one that counts, the one for nationals, it came out on Wednesday. I'm telling you what, last games that were played were on Sunday, February 18th. We knew, I can tell you now, behind the scenes, we knew what was going to happen. We knew the results and all that jazz on the evening of Sunday, February 18th.
Yeah.
And so I had to sit on it for like 3.5 days. Oh. Talk about brutal, because you want to sit there and say, hey, you're number 18, or hey, you're number 20, or oh, you didn't make it, or
yes,
you know, I wanted the help, and I people know I've got the rankings, and so I always get hit up quite a bit, and it was a painful 3 days.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Luckily, one of those 3 days I was flying all freaking day, but so I was in the air. But hey, the ranking came out, and 8 of our 10 WCHL teams are in the top 25.
How about that? I was just looking at this, and I looked at it, and I was like, that's 8. And I did a double count, and I was like, hang on, what?
Andrew, all 10 are in the top 30.
That's impressive.
Andrew. 2 are in the top 5. 4 are in the top 13.
It's impressive, isn't it?
I'm telling you what, for a little bitty conference out west with a dope commissioner, and dope, I mean like dumb, I don't mean like the bomb. He's, you know, because I think the guy's an idiot myself. We're not doing too bad.
That's, yeah, that's impressive. All 10 in the top 30, 8 in the top 25. I mean, hey.
Yeah.
That's competitive hockey right there.
There you go. Here we go. Now, the top 10 basically stayed the same, but we had a little bit of shuffling. 1, 2, and 3.
Flip-flopping.
Yeah, 1, 2, and 3. Minot State, Adrian, and Central Oklahoma. The 4 and 5 spots flipped. Jamestown jumped Nevada, Las Vegas. I heard a little podcast the other day, yesterday, as a matter of fact. It had the UNLV coach on there, and he was like, you know, I don't understand how we drop after we lost. And, you know, it's like, you didn't drop. It's the other team jumped you.
Yeah, you know? You just got jumped.
Yeah, so don't, I mean, it can go both ways. You know, you can drop, yes, but other teams can jump you, and that's what happened here in this instance. And then we got the Maryville Liberty Ohio triplets. They've been square dancing all season long in the 6-7-8 range.
That's insane, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, they've just been changing positions all season long. Niagara is number 9, Mary is number 10. And then if you flesh out the rest of the rest of the WCHL teams in the top 25, Utah is number 12. Congratulations to the Utes.
Yeah, great season.
Arizona bumps up 3 spots to number 13. And again, I don't think that's because Arizona moved up as much as I think that's other teams moved down.
Just moving down, yeah.
Because, and we could talk about that here in a little bit. Grand Canyon is number 17. They got hot right when they needed to here in the spring semester.
Yes, congratulations to those guys.
Missouri State is number 21. Colorado's number 22. Oklahoma's number 24. And then the two teams that are out of the top 25 but in the top 30, Arizona State is number 28 and Colorado State is number 30. Or maybe I have that backwards. I don't know. It's one's 28 and one's 30. I thought it was ASU, CSU.
I think you're right. CSU's 30. Yeah.
So, yeah. So, what this means, Andrew, is we're off to nationals.
We are national. We're in nationals mode now, aren't we?
We are. There were only, if folks out there remember, this is the first year where we've added 4 teams to the nationals field. So, Andrew, that's...
Yep.
Can you hear me?
I can.
I don't know if you heard that. That was my the alarm that I have set off for the podcast.
Oh boy!
Yeah, telling me to do it. And we're already doing it.
How
dumb am I? See, I told you that guy was a dope.
I tell you.
So we have, this is the first year of the 24 team format. Last year, in the past few years, if you remember, Arizona State and Utah got bumped.
Yes, because they're at their tail end.
Yeah, they were like 19th or 20th or even 18th. And they got, you know, we would have a bunch of bumps. So we added 4 teams so that if you're in the top 20, basically you're assured of going to nationals. And if someone's going to bump you, they're going to bump from the 23, 24, 22 spot. They're not going to
Yeah, going to get that.
Yeah. And that's what happened here. We only had 2 bumps this year. Indiana University of Pennsylvania from the terrible Pittsburgh League bumped a team, and then Westchester University from the terrible Philadelphia League. You know what? I think I might have that wrong. No, I do have that. IUP made it into the top 25. So it's Oswego State from the terrible New York League and Westchester from the terrible Philly League.
Westchester.
Those were the 2 bumps. And so those were the 2 teams that bumped. And the 2 teams that got bumped were Colorado and Oklahoma.
What's the luck, right?
Well, hey, you know what? I mean, as someone told me, when you have 8 teams in the top 25, you're going to get some WCHL matchups, and it's highly likely that a couple of your teams are going to be the ones that get bumped, and that's exactly what happened.
That's exactly what happened here, right?
Yeah, so Oklahoma and Colorado both had resurgent seasons, and they both should be very, very proud of what happened. Yeah. But it sucks. It sucks to get bumped.
It does. It does. But hey, what a turnaround for those guys.
Yeah. I mean, that's, come on. We were, Colorado was on top of the world. They had Eric Ballard coaching them. And then, you know, he leaves to go, you know, be a hockey coach to the rich and famous in Jackson Hole, Wyoming. and CU kind of falls off the end of the face of the earth.
Yep.
And not a knock on the coaching staff, but Trace Jablin has done a hell of a job this year.
Yes, he has.
With essentially the same players that have been there for the past few years. And he turned them from being, you know, in the 40s, 50 range, he turned them into, you know, a top 25 team.
Yeah, top 25. And they were knocking on the door to get in the top 20 for a while, right?
Yep, yep. Peter Arvanitis, same situation. He was the head coach. He left when the Sooners were on a high, and then he handed the reins over to a couple of other coaches. They've had two coaches since then, and you know the program really fell into disarray under both of those guys.
Yes, it
and
did.
And Pete comes in last season and basically stabilizes the program. And this year they brought in some of his recruits. And damned if they didn't show incredible improvement.
Yes, yes.
And so they should be incredibly proud of their efforts, and hopefully they'll just continue to build on it. That's both of them, for Coach Jablin at CU and for Coach Arvanitis at OU.
Yeah, you know, and it just goes to show, you know, Coach Arvanitis did a little bit of recruiting and brought just a few kids in, right?
Yep.
And look what happened, you know. Yeah, there should be a few people that are paying attention to what happened there and really feel some shame, right?
Their old general manager, maybe?
Nope, not me.
So, Andrew, that means six WCHL teams are in the mix for nationals. UCO is the number 3 seed. UNLV is the number 5 seed. Utah is the number 12 seed. Arizona is the number 13 seed. Grand Canyon is number 17, and Missouri State is number 21. Look at Missouri State. Missouri State fell off the face of the earth for a season.
Yeah, they did. Now they're back at it.
They got blasted. The last time we were in St. Louis, they got blasted 14-1 at Nationals by Adrian.
I remember that.
Oh, yeah, and I remember walking in the tunnel, and the coaches at the time were walking out just kind of like in a zombie stage, like, I can't believe what just happened.
I don't think anybody could believe what just happened.
No. I mean, we all were up there, you know, wanting to cry uncle for them. Run the clock, please. And so Tom Winkler has turned the program around. Now it's not done, right? It's still a work in progress, but
right.
The Ice Bears are back to relevance, and they're back in the Nationals mix, which is pretty dang awesome. Good for good for them.
Yeah. You like seeing those kind of situations, right? Where those teams are kind of coming back, and you wish them all the best moving into next year, right?
Well, and it's a situation, too. You know, I mean, you'll also look at Danny Roy at Grand Canyon, 17. They get hot at the right time. They literally rocket up from the 28, 29, 30 position, and they finish at 17. Under last year's national scenario, Missouri State and possibly Grand Canyon would have been bumped out.
Yeah.
But now, because we've expanded, and, you know, I'm not going to say it's the greatest experiment in all the world, but both of those teams now are, you know, assured of having a spot, and they're going to get a chance to go, you know, throw their hat in the ring at Nationals, basically.
Yeah, kudos to them.
They get a chance. Yeah, so that's great. That's great. Now, here's the bummer part. Because we have six teams, you know, 1/4 basically of the field at Nationals comes from the WCHL. Because of that, we're going to have some WCHL on WCHL violence.
You're going to have some friendly fire coming up.
And game one at Nationals is an all WCHL affair. The only saving grace is that they haven't played each other this year.
Yeah, why not just get it started right off the bat, right?
Number 12, Utah, will take on number 21, Missouri State, in the opening game on Thursday, March the 7th. And WCHL teams, but they did not play each other this year because they're in different divisions. So, good news. And that'll be a great test for Utah and you know, a great test for, for Missouri State.
Yep, I agree.
The next game is going to see number 13 Arizona taking on number 20 Pittsburgh. What do you think, Andrew? I'm not going to ask you for a prediction. I'm just asking, what do you think?
Yeah.
I think that's a trap game because I think Pitt is a hell of a lot better than number 20.
Yeah, it could be, right?
Pitt's been to Nationals. They know how to win. They know how to score. And I think they're a hell of a lot better team than number 20. So I think that's a potential trap for Arizona.
Yeah, it could be. Could be an interesting little matchup, you think?
Yeah, I think so. I think that yes, I hope that U of A does not overlook Pitt because I think Pitt, that's a possible upset brewing right there.
Well, let's keep an eye on it.
The next game after that is going to be number 11, Purdue Northwest, taking on number 22, Indiana, Pennsylvania. Purdue Northwest just upset Adrian to win the GLCHL playoffs. And IUP is full of parents that want to drink and fight.
So, yes, they are.
It's them and another team. But, yeah. Purdue North, I think that's a tough draw for IUP. I think Purdue Northwest is coming in with a lot of confidence. They're playing hot. I mean, that's a team you don't really want to play right now.
No, they've had a pretty decent little season. So I would agree with that.
Yeah. After that, Grand Valley State is the number 14 seed. They'll take on number 19 Delaware.
Yeah.
Don't know much about either one of those two teams.
Yeah. Neither do I.
Number 10, Mary, is going to take on number 23, Westchester.
Watch out, Westchester, right?
Watch out, Westchester. In fact, Andrew, hey, hold on. Mary and Minot, as we're recording this, Mary and Minot are playing right now. Here, let's see if we can listen in.
Moves it over to Lucio as Lucio's going to give chase here on Soar down low. Over to Heitkamp he goes. Heitkamp. Over to Lucio. Heitkamp to Escro. Escrow far a shot, looking for that far side.
All right. Well, Mary's getting blasted 5-0 with 18 minutes in the third period. Mary's on the power play, and they're not doing an awful lot. So we'll talk about UMary here in a bit, since I had the pleasure of being up there. But I think UMary is going to just run circles all over Westchester.
I would be surprised if that's not the case.
Yeah. The next game is interesting. Number 15, Calvin, taking on number 18, Indiana Tech. Let's go Indiana Tech. Come on, Indiana Tech.
Yeah, I was going just the opposite there on you.
Well, you know why, right?
Yes, I do.
That Calvin has that Sunday play situation, so we're all like Red Sox fans they root for the Sox and whoever's playing the Yankees.
That's right.
So in this instance, this I think is going to be a situation of, did Minot? No, Minot did not just score. I thought they were just like not selling anymore because they're running up the score on them. Yeah, Calvin's got some issues, and Indiana Tech. I think Indiana Tech's a good little team you don't want to play too. They just won the WAC playoffs. And so I think Indiana Tech's getting hot at the right time, and that might not be a good game for Calvin to pull.
A little bit better, finished a little bit higher ranked last year.
Calvin did?
Indiana Tech.
Yeah, I remember they opened their opening game of the weekend was against Central Oklahoma. So, they finished a little higher, but we'll see. After that, it's number 9 Niagara taking on number 24 Oswego State.
Oswego State.
Two teams out of New York, two teams that used to be in the same conference together, and Niagara was smart and got the heck out.
Might be a little spirited affair, right?
Yeah, number 9 should absolutely wax the heck out of them.
You would think so, right?
And then I think this one's going to be the game of the Thursday. Number 16, Illinois State, with all their beer-drinking, fighting parents in the stands. Against number 17 Grand Canyon, arguably the hottest team in the WCHL as they finish the season here.
Yep. I kind of had this one circled when I saw that matchup there.
Yep. Jamestown is the number 4 seed. They'll get the winner of Arizona-Pittsburgh. Central Oklahoma is the number 3 seed. They'll get the winner of Grand Valley State. and Delaware.
Delaware, yeah.
Adrian is the number two seed. They'll get the winner of Calvin, Indiana Tech. So, I mean, Calvin's up against it. I mean, the deck is stacked against Calvin.
Oh, yeah. If you make it prepared to the first game, yeah. Good luck on the second game.
Congratulations. You get the number two team in the nation that yeah. just lost and is really angry. And then, Niagara is, Illinois State in the Grand Canyon, the winner of that slugfest, gets to take on number one Minot State.
Minot State. Why not Minot?
Those games are on Friday, and then Saturday, number five Nevada Las Vegas is going to take on the winner of Utah-Missouri State.
Yeah, some more friendly fire.
Maryville pulled the winner of IUP and Purdue Northwest.
A pretty good little draw.
I think that's a tough draw for Maryville. Purdue Northwest, again, playing very, very well. Liberty, the number seven seed, pulls the winner of number 10 Mary or Westchester.
See, I think that's the game to watch right there, I think.
That could be. I don't know. Mary's, you know what? I saw them in person. Mary's a good team. They've got a lot of little jitterbugs out there. They reminded me a lot of UCO from about 8 or 9 years ago before they started winning championships. They had a lot of jitterbugs, a lot of little guys that like to play on the outside. They don't have a lot of guys that like to go and crash the front of the net and get dirty.
Getting dirty.
Whereas Liberty has gigantic trees. I mean, they got gigantic human beings on ice.
Yeah, they do.
And they also have speed. So we'll see.
Don't have the 6'7" guy at Liberty.
Yeah, that might. I know there's like a 6'9" guy at Grand Canyon.
Maybe that's who I'm thinking of.
Yeah. And then, hey, the last game on Saturday is going to be number 8 Ohio, Andrew's favorite team. They're going to be taking on the winner of Niagara and Oswego State.
Come on, Niagara.
Here's the deal, Andrew. Niagara and Ohio have already played this year. I think they played 4 times, and I think they split 2 each. Good. Yeah.
Good. Well, Niagara's going to take the tiebreaker here.
Wow. And then Sunday we have the quarterfinals. Monday we have the semifinals. And then on Tuesday, March the 12th, we'll have the championship game with the winner. Winner hosts the Murdoch Cup.
Mm-mm-mm.
Yeah. So it should be good. Looking forward to it. And here I need to point out a inaccuracy on the schedule. So anyways, it looks like it's a good little field. Looks like it's wide open to me. Andrew, we're not going to take any predictions just yet.
Right.
But you told me before we started to hit record that you've got some front runners.
I do.
Do you care to spill the beans, or do you want to hold on to it until next week? It's your call. This is, after all, the Andrew Majorc Earth podcast.
Let's hold on to, let's keep them close to the cup until next week.
Now, really?
I might want to change a couple things between now and then.
Uh-oh, Andrew.
Right over the blockers, Jerome gets his second of the game, making it 6-0 Beavers.
Whoa.
Ouch.
6-0 Beavers. Yikes. Well, sorry for you, Mary.
Yeah, I know, right?
All right.
We're sitting here talking them up.
Talking smack. Andrew, so there's our Nationals thing. Yeah, and what we'll do, I think we're going to try over the next couple of days to get some people to on here to kind of figure out, get their predictions.
There you go.
And run through it, and like we always do, and then we'll finish with yours. I'll be up in St. Louis March the 7th through the 12th for the entire tournament. I know. Looking forward to some Emo's pizza. In fact, here, you know what, Andrew? I'm going to do something I don't normally do. I'm going to read a text.
Oh boy.
Yes, because someone asked me, what are you looking forward to at the tournament? Oh, I better not say this. I can say some of this stuff. I said, I'm looking forward to seeing if Jamestown is a butt kicker or a pretender this season. I got to see Jamestown in person. We're going to talk about that in a second. Jamestown looked really good. I said, I'm looking forward to rooting for whoever is playing Calvin. I said, I'm looking forward to seeing if Maryville, Ohio, Liberty can get out of the square dance that all three have been in for the season and make some noise. I'm looking forward to seeing if the Illinois State parents start another fight in the stands. I'm looking forward to seeing Oswego and Westchester get blown the F out. I said, I'm looking forward to seeing my friends and laughing and having a great time. I'm looking forward to being the snarky bee that I am on Twitter. And I'm looking forward to some Emo's pizza.
Emo's pizza.
Yeah, Emo's flatbread pizza.
So there you have it. There you go.
Or, you know, not flatbread. I guess it's thin crust.
Yeah, thin. That's the flatbread's the bougie stuff.
Yeah, the bougie. There you the bougie stuff. Here we are. We're in the middle of nowhere, Oklahoma. We're calling flatbread pizza bougie. Like they're serving it at the castle at Versailles or something like that.
I know, right?
Well, Stanley, please get me some of that bougie pizza.
I know, right?
The flatbread kind.
The flatbread.
Jeez. All right. Well, hey, Andrew, what do you want to talk about? Do you want to talk about something serious, or do you want to talk about something fun?
Well,
I'll give you a choice.
Let's have a little bit of both.
We'll have a little bit of what? A little bit of both?
Yeah, why not? Why not?
All right. Well, let's get some of the seriousness out of the way then, okay? And then we can talk about the fun stuff. Our good friend of the podcast, AJ Bolden, the general manager for the University of Utah. Unfortunately, he was injured after Friday night's game.
Uh-oh.
Yes, he was, I don't want to get too deep because I don't want to give away any potential HIPAA violations or anything, but let's just say that he was the unfortunate recipient of a hit and run accident that put him in the hospital. We just want to wish all the best to AJ Bolden for his recovery. And here's the thing, hospitals suck,
right? Yeah, they do.
But thank God that they're there, and thank God for good people, because when this happened, there were a lot of good people that rushed to his aid and helped him out. And there are a lot of good people that are helping him out now. So, again, don't want to go too deep into all the nitty-gritty details. It's his story to tell, not mine. Although I might have just told some of it. My lawyer just yelled at me. but you know what? He's a good friend, and we wish him the best. It was a shocker.
Yeah.
And it stinks.
Yeah.
It stinks because his Utah Men's Division II team is playing at regionals this upcoming weekend for the first time in a long time. And his Utah men's one team made it to nationals, the number 12 seed. And I had the pleasure of talking to him. I mean, he's up and he's chipper and he's getting around, and you know, he's in good spirits. He's alive, which is the key.
Yeah. That's the big one.
And I just told him, I said, man, you're coming to nationals in future years. You do not need to be, I don't need to see your happy butt at nationals. I know him. He would be, you know, there in a wheelchair or whatever, you know, just because it's his team being there for the first time in forever. And I was like, focus on your recovery. There's going to be plenty of other years when Utah makes it. So anyways, so there we go. There's the serious part. We want to wish AJ Bolden a quick, a complete, and a speedy recovery.
Yeah, all the best there. That's unfortunate.
Yeah, yeah. And it's unfortunate that I just got yelled at by my lawyer. All right, hey, so the fun
Probably
part.
Not the first time.
Not today. Not the first time today, Andrew. Jeez. The fun part, I had to travel up to Bismarck, North Dakota for the Midwest College Hockey Playoff tournament hosted by the University of Mary. Why do you go, ugh?
Well, you know, we looked at things to do in Bismarck, North Dakota.
Yeah.
Last week, and we couldn't find anything.
Well, Andrew, I'm here to tell you.
You found nothing.
It was surprisingly, good. Did I find an awful lot to do? I mean, Andrew, it was 3 degrees on Friday morning. Okay.
Yeah, it's not like you're getting out and doing a whole lot.
Yeah, I'm not going to go out walking on the river or anything like that. So. The town of Bismarck is a little teeny tiny town. One of the things it said to do was to check out the state capitol.
Yeah.
It looks like a tall office building.
It's an office building.
Yeah. It's, I think it's the tallest building in all of Bismarck. but it's, I mean, it was kind of cool. I got to drive by it a couple of times, and it was always hopping. It was, you know, the state capitol complex that was full of cars. I'm sure a lot of government workers were over there just toiling away. I think the highlight, besides the hockey, the highlight, Andrew, was actually getting the tour of the University of Mary campus.
Oh, is it nice?
It's, you know what? It's surprisingly nice. It's on a bluff. on the south side of Bismarck. And it's run, I didn't realize this, but it's run by some Benedictine sisters. And I didn't realize it was a religious school. And Andrew, you know me. Well, here, you're the jerk. Last week was Ash Wednesday and Fish Friday for Lent, right? And so what do you do for me? You send me a nice little message on Ash Wednesday. And what was it? Yeah. Go ahead and tell the people what it was.
Just a nice picture of a nice big fat juicy steak just bubbling off of the grill.
That's right.
It looked delicious.
Thank you very much, Andrew. You always love to make fun of me when I was we were out on the recruiting trail eating at the Big Texan, home of the 72-ounce steak in Amarillo, Texas, and here I am eating a catfish fillet.
Here comes Nancy walking in. Oh yes, do you have any spaghetti or lasagna that I can have?
Jerk. Well, hey, how about this? The University of Mary, a Catholic institution. I ate on campus. I was their guest at lunch, and I had the best Fish Friday lunch.
Oh, there you go.
Popcorn shrimp. They had skewered shrimp. They had cod. Cod patties. I mean, it was in Bismarck, North Dakota. It was very, very good. Now, it was also very cold. Don't get me wrong. it was very, very cold. But the campus is a nice little campus. It's unassuming. I mean, it's not like, a gigantic Arizona State, Utah, Colorado.
Yeah.
It's not like that. It's they're a relatively new school, so it's a burgeoning campus. But it's... I'm telling you what, the place was packed. There were tons of people there. And on the inside, because it was 3 degrees outside, everybody was indoors. But the place was hopping. There were tons of students all over the place. I was really, really impressed.
Yeah. I'm looking at pictures now. So it's not a gigantic campus by any stretch.
No, not a gigantic campus. A lot of stuff is indoors. I got to tour the field house. Which has it's one of three regulation tracks in all of North Dakota indoors. I guess the other two, one is at Minot, and the other one I think they said was at North Dakota State. So it because it's one of three, and because track is a big deal up there, that place gets a lot of activity. Softball and baseball practice indoors as well. Until the sun comes out and, thaws the baseball ground. So it was, it was a very nice little campus.
Pretty interesting. Pretty interesting.
The games were held at the Sterion Sports Complex. Sterion is like a bank up there. And, so they sponsor the rink, that's there. And the rink is in Mandan, North Dakota, which is just across the Missouri River. And very, very nice. It reminded me an awful lot of Iowa State setup. Stands and Missouri State setup, the Jordan Valley Ice Park. Stands on one side.
Yeah, teams on the other.
Teams on the other. Locker rooms underneath. Just an absolutely great little facility. The hosts at the University of Mary were just incredible. They had a little kind of a skybox little area up there for Commissioner's Corner. But it was just great. I mean, they had a great spread again, more fish on Friday, burgers on Saturday, and I forget what they had on Sunday. It was a good little surprise meal on Sunday.
Yeah, great. Looks like a great little arena. Video board on the wall. Nice.
Incredible.
Nice and clean look. So, yeah.
Yeah, incredible. A lot of wonderful support from the UMary. I mean, they filled that arena when UMary played both games. Huh. And, it was very good. So, the way that turned out, we have seven teams in the B conference, and six of them made it to the playoffs. Northern Illinois did not. I jokingly told Northern Illinois, hey, you're the big winner. You don't have to go to Bismarck.
You don't have to go, right?
Yeah. And as it turns out, Midland upset Illinois State, just beat the pants off of them, like 8-3, I think was the final score, which is why Illinois State dropped in the rankings from 14 to 16. And then McKendree beat Waldorf on day one. So day two was Jamestown against Midland, which Jamestown won. And then it was Mary against McKendree. And Andrew, that game went to overtime.
Oh boy.
And Mary won that game, setting up a number one versus number two seeds in the playoffs, Jamestown versus Mary. Jamestown ends up winning the game by the score of 2-1. They're the champions of the regular season for the MCH. They're the champions of the playoffs. They won the auto bid. And the goaltender, number one, Brandon Weir, was the most outstanding player for the MCH playoffs.
Hey, that's all it takes. Get a hot goaltender.
Telling you what.
A million times.
Isn't that the truth? Got to get a hot goaltender, and that's what you need to ride here at Nationals.
Yeah.
So I did have the occasion. I did not partake, but I had the opportunity, Andrew, to go to the Lewis and Clark Exploration Center.
Ooh.
39 miles outside of Bismarck. I think I would have needed Lewis and Clark to get me back to my hotel had I gone. But I was north. Let's just say that. Andrew, I'm going to ask you a question.
Oh, God.
Okay. No, it's okay. And I don't want you to cheat. Don't Google this.
Oh, boy.
I'm going to say this wrong, okay? What has the higher number? The number of fingers on your hand or the number of gates at the Bismarck Airport? Which number is highest?
I've been to those little airports. You have more fingers than you have gates at the airport.
Four gates.
Yeah.
Andrew, I got off the plane on Thursday evening, and immediately I turned to the left because it says, you know, baggage claim, car rental, and I turned to the left, and there's TSA, the security.
Yeah, you're just like, oh, hey, hello.
Then and so I walk. I thought I'd have to go through TSA just to get out of there, right? So I go downstairs to where it says baggage claim is, and it's right next to the car rental place. So I'm literally in line to pick up my car, and I turn around and hey, there's the baggage. I mean, I could literally just sign my car rental papers and with one hand and reach over and grab my baggage.
How about that?
It was so teeny tiny. It was kind of endearing. They only had like, I don't know, six or eight flights coming, arriving every day.
Yeah.
And I think that's on Mondays. I think on Tuesdays, there are only like two.
Yeah. You know, I've been to, you know, it reminds me of, the Dayton airport.
Yeah.
Dayton, Ohio airport. And it's the same thing. There's like six or seven gates and that's it. Right. It is. You know, just small, nothing going on. Just, yeah, pretty interesting, right?
I thought, it reminded me of the little ski town airports where you fly in on a big plane out of like Dallas or Denver and you land and, you know, you have to literally walk out onto the tarmac to
get off the plane. Like Colorado Springs is a small little airport like that.
Gunnison's like that too. So, anyways, yeah, it was cute. I mean, the lady that was my ticket agent, she was also my baggage handler and also the gate agent. I mean, she wore many, many hats for United that day. So it was a good trip, and it was, you, Mary, they were absolutely wonderful hosts. I pleaded with them not to wear white pants. during the tournament, and they wore white pants on Sunday and kind of angered the hockey gods, I think.
I'll
tell you this, it was kind of a little bit of a goof. They have great graphics. You were talking about that graphic, that video board that's there.
Yeah,
so they have a scoreboard at the end of one rink, or at the way at one ends one end of the rink, I'm saying that wrong, at one end of the rink. And then right over the penalty boxes in the middle of the rink, they have another scoreboard and a video board.
Oh, okay.
And that video board is nice. It put up, you know, the head-to-head matchup, you know, who's playing who. And it had a little slide. You know, it was just showing a slideshow. Had a little slide for, you know, the championship playoffs. On Sunday, before the thing, they put up the wrong slide.
Oh, no.
It said MCH Playoff Champions, University of Mary.
Oh, no, you can't do that.
That's why I said, I think you guys might want to change it. Oh, no, it's been running. It's been running all the previous two days. I saw it up there, and I was like, I know the one that's been running the previous couple days had all of the logos on there for the qualifying teams. This one just said, and it said championship. This one says champions. Congratulations.
Yeah, you can't. Ugh.
Yeah, so I said, you might want to take that down pretty quick before you anger the hockey gods. And, you know, sure enough, they took it down. They found the right one, the right slide, and put it up there. They had, to their credit, they had one made built out for Jamestown. If Jamestown won, they had one built out if Mary won. So they were ready.
Yeah, you got to do what you got to do. Right?
But, yeah, I think that might have... That in the white pants might have
just too many things stacked against them.
Yeah, kind of wild. So, anyways, and then you know, I got told that you know, the great fan support in Bismarck means that we ought to be bringing it to Bismarck every year.
Well, there you go.
And I said, well, if I did that, I think the commissioner would get fired by all the teams out in Illinois and Iowa and Nebraska.
you gotta make the rounds.
Gotta spread the wealth.
Make the rounds.
Yeah. Anyways, hey, it was a good little tournament. Jamestown ends up winning it. And three teams from the MCH end up making it to nationals. So that's... Oh, here we go. Here, hold on.
I mean, they're the conference champions. They're here playing on the second day here in the tournament.
Okay, 7-0 is your final. Minot over Mary.
Yes.
Ooh. Hey, Jamestown, Mary, and Illinois State from the MCH are going to the tournament, along with six other teams from the WCHL. So not a bad little showing for two of the newest conferences in the ACHA.
Yeah, it's not. You got nine of the 24 teams at nationals. So
yeah. Yeah, nothing, we'll see.
Nothing too slouchy.
Means I got to shake a lot of hands and kiss a lot of babies, huh?
Well, that's perfect for you. That's perfect for you. I mean, that's what you do every day anyway.
Oh, listen to you. Oh,
Mr. PR out there, right?
Mr. PR. You are so full of it. You're so Mr. PR. Yeah, so hey, well, let's talk a couple of other things really quick. Field for women's one is coming. I think that's going to be announced on Sunday. The men's three field has already been announced. Who really cares? I mean, it's you know, it's 16 teams, but again, who cares? The women's two field, I think, has been announced. I think. I don't know. I don't pay attention to that junk. And men's two, they're playing regionals this weekend. So half of their field has already been announced. The men do it weird. Or men's two, I should say, do it weird. They take the top two teams in each region. They automatically qualify for nationals. And then the next 10 or 12 teams have to go to regionals.
Battle it out.
And battle it out for two spots. So we know eight teams already. The other eight teams are going to be figured out this weekend. So if you're sitting around having a whole lot of nothing to do on Friday, Saturday, or Sunday, Flow Hockey TV is your place online to watch the ACHA Men's Division II regionals. And they're coming from like Ogden, Utah, and Grand Rapids, Michigan, and some other places. I don't know. Don't know. Don't care.
Yeah.
But that should be interesting. So we should have the field, all of the teams in the mix. We should know all 72 or 76 teams that are going to nationals by Sunday.
Oh, can hardly wait.
Yeah. And then after that, it's just hurry up and wait.
So, hurry up and wait.
Andrew, have you changed your mind? Have you thought about coming to St. Louis and having fun and being snarky with me on Twitter?
You know, I could be snarky with the best of them. I think if I said I was going to St. Louis for 3 or 4 days, my wife may kill me.
Well, wait a second. Did your wife come in and yell at you while you were in the middle of a podcast like mine just did? See, I think so, you're in a much better space than I am.
It's only because she doesn't know that I'm hiding in the garage. And when I say I'm hiding in the garage, I've got a pile of boxes in front of me, so she can't see me here.
I might be in the garage soon, Andrew, like later tonight.
That's all right.
And it might have nothing to do with the podcast.
I just take a couple of blankets with you. You'll be all right. It's going to be nice and warm tonight, so you'll be all right.
I'm telling you what, I am in so much trouble. I'm so sorry, AJ. Jeez. Anyways, so hey, you know, exciting times. Teams are. Yeah. I don't know if they still do it. I guess I should check online. Back when we were involved with programs and we knew who we were going to play, we took down videos so that they couldn't scout.
Right.
Yeah. So all of the OU hockey videos got turned off. I wonder if the Missouri State videos are still up, or if the Utah videos are still up, or the Arizona videos are still up.
Little sportsmanship there.
Yeah, really. Hey, the only one that's behind a paywall, I think, is Grand Canyon. They're on Black Dog, right? Everybody
gotta pay to watch them.
Yeah, everybody else is online on YouTube. So kind of wild. So.
Yeah, got to pay to watch Grand Canyon. I like it.
Yeah. So, all right, Andrew, anything else before we get out of here?
Hey, I tell you what, let's let these poor folks out of here so they don't have to listen to us ramble anymore. How about that?
Or hear me get yelled at some more. Yikes. I'm kind of afraid to leave the room now.
I'm ready to get out of here so we can send you off to the living room so you can get your punishment.
And get my butt chewed.
That's right.
All right, guys. Listen, thanks for listening to the WCHO podcast. Go ahead and give us a 5-star rating, thumbs up, do whatever it is you got to do to say you like the thing or that you don't like the thing. On Twitter, it's WCHL Pod. On Twitter, it's also Western CHL. That's the conference. On Twitter, Andrew is there at Stickford AM, STICKFORDAM. I'm on Threads at CJPNOKLA. Andrew, I also had the pleasure of being on another podcast last week. Yeah, the ITHSW podcast with our buddies Scott Strandy and Stephen Marsh.
Oh, that's that Ice Time
Hockey Southwest.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and it was a good time, had a good time. They had, I was on there last week, and so I just rambled, like I normally do. And then, but they had some folks on yesterday. I think they had on the coaches for the number 1, the number 2, the number 5, and the number 6 team. So they had on Adrian, Minot, Maryville, and UNLV.
Hey, that's good stuff.
Yeah, so there's another source if you're interested in some ACHA hockey information. I don't know how much it's good to have that access and that insight. I don't know how much information or value you're going to.
I don't know what you're getting out of it, but
hey, they're good guys, and they bring the spotlight onto the ACHA, which is pretty good.
That's what needs to happen, right?
Yeah, they focus on the coaches. But they're good guys, and I like to. One of them has a little bit of a Las Vegas tint to him. I like to give him a hard time, and he likes to keep me in check on Twitter with my mathematician and equation. since I'm not exactly Rain Man.
Everybody's accused of that, have you?
it's a good little yin and yang relationship we have there. So. Anyways, so there it is. We appreciate you listening to the podcast. Appreciate your support of the WCHL and the ACHA. Once again, we want to wish best wishes and a quick, speedy recovery to AJ Bolden. Andrew, I'm going to hit the button before I get yelled at. Here we go.
Hey, let's get out of here, everybody. Great season of hockey. Nationals coming up. Can't wait to see what happens. Take care of each other, and we will catch you on the flip side.